IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sayyid Abdullah Musa. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So this series of the program Viewpoints is mainly concerned with an analysis on the important points addressed by the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And in this new series, we are concerned with the topic humans or human beings in the speeches of the leader of Islamic Republic of Iran. So we believe the principles of Western humanities originate from the materialistic thought. And, you know, this has been clear to anybody who has read the history of Renaissance and anybody who has become familiar with the people of that era. So when the Renaissance becomes the source of different transformation in the West, then the role of the people and more the materialistic, this mundane life comes to the opinion. And it has affect all the arenas of the Islamic humanities, like psychology, sociology, philosophy, communication studies, and all that. And based on that, there comes this secular system. So now, from the other side, we have this the role that the human and the human beings and the position that the human beings has in Islam, you know, on different occasions, in the verses of the Quran and the Ahadith. It is the direct reference of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imams, you know, here and there referred to the role that the human in humanities has. So, again, there would come up a problem like we had in Islamic democracy that can we have any Islamic humanities, Sayyid Abdullah, or not?
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-la'in al-rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you refer to humanities being a branch of knowledge that consists of, knowledges that deals with the human being,
yes.
Sort of, for example, in terms of chemistry, physics, and medicine, and I don't know, all these arts that the human being requires in his life, then, yeah, Islam has its own humanities. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Islam... When we say humanities, in the example that I gave, maybe some of them are not precise. Yeah. But let's say anything that tries to elevate the human being in whatever mm-hmm. way, whether it's through knowledge, through whatever things that he needs in his life. Islam as a system has already also incorporated all these humanities within Islam.
Yes.
So they're already there. And Islam defined the human being, and he said there are two types of sciences. This is, as we call it, ilmul abdan, the sciences of the body, wa ilmul adyan, the sciences of the religion.
Yes.
So the human being needs to deal with his body, and he needs to deal with his spirit.
Okay.
So Islam brought both knowledges, and he combined them together, and he says, well, okay, in the same time that we need to look after your body, through whatever science is required, we also need to look after your spirit, wherever is required.
Yes.
Now, this is the Islamic model. Now, the secular model completely ignored the spiritual aspect of the human being, and they concentrated heavily on the materialistic aspect of the human being. So let us just try to find whatever makes us happy mm-hmm. and pleases us, and we go with that.
Yes.
And obviously we have an issue with that. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Again, when we talk about humanities in the Islamic terms, the divinity comes into the scene. I mean, a person who has this fitra, and here I think we have to differentiate between the very fitra, which is believed in human beings, which is divine as the Muslims and the Islamic theology believes, and the nature that is in the Western world, isn't it? Brother Ali, somehow differentiate between these two for us, because when we say human, you know, has a tabi'a and this fitra.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Knowledge and science has been actually respected by different classes of people, not only in this arena, but even in the course of history in the past. And among the knowledges, usually the scholars of the humanities and human sciences were the one who were leading, actually, or who have the key role in societies, and they have actually the ones who played a great role in the societies.
That's right.
That is, they were the key figures in actually the leadership of the societies. Mm-hmm. So sciences like that of management, I don't know, from economics, psychology, and other sciences which relate to the human sciences.
Philosophy, religion,
language,
art, English, whatever.
So, you see, these scholars usually need to be looked at, I mean, in details. So we see that these sciences or knowledges are going to be regarded as important because they were very important. And what is the key difference between here in this worldview that we are talking about, I mean, Islamic worldview, and the kind of look that, for example, other schools have towards it?
Yes.
And this school, actually, in the Islamic school that we are talking about, actually, both sides of human, as Sayyid actually pinpointed, are looked at. That is, the material aspect of human and spiritual aspect of mm-hmm. human being. Rather, in the other schools, only the materialistic aspect of human is valued and respected. Look, in an economics, what is the philosophy of this knowledge when it comes to show itself and its result and outcome in the society? This is the priority of profit and benefit of a person or a certain group of people.
Yeah, going into liberal capitalism in the Western world, that's right, okay.
But when we are talking about economics, mm-hmm. we are talking about equality among different classes of people, even different people, different groups of people, and even the right of every single people is important here.
Mm-hmm.
So equality is looked at, and equality, and what is the outcome of it? To practice equality and justice in order to prepare the people for the worship of God, to put them in the right way to worship God. So then, again, everything is going to refer to God, to God himself. We are talking, for example, about management, we are going mm-hmm. working for the betterment of the life of the people.
Yes.
Again, what for? To prepare them to be good servants of God, to worship God, to obey God while in the right, in the best way.
So this way we have to develop our own theory,
yeah.
Is it?
When we are talking about Islamic psychology, okay. It means that we are paying attention to both sides of human aspects, that is a spiritual part of him and also material aspect. So when you believe in the existence of soul and ruh in a person, then you know how to cure. Look, the same way that mm-hmm. you cure the body of a person as a physician, as a practitioner, then you know, I mean, as a scholar of, let's say, psychology, Islamic psychology, how to cure the soul and the nafs mm-hmm. of a person when it faces the problem.
So, and do you believe in this combination of the terms, for example, Islamic physics, mathematics, chemistry?
Actually,
philosophy or something like that?
I myself actually have a comment on this, and I mm-hmm. really do not agree with that, because I believe that Islam by itself is something beyond this knowledge mm-hmm. that to attribute it to, for example, psychology and to, I don't know, economics, because Islam has its own word. I mean, these terminologies are something which are quite common among people. Then in order to make it more understandable and closer to understanding, actually I enjoy these words and employ these words. But basically, I believe that whatever ilm al-nafs is something even beyond the psychology mm-hmm. that we are talking about. So when a person is a master of ilm al-nafs, so he can naturally cure all the diseases of ruh and nafs. So, and also in the economy, Islam has its own word to say, to call it, for example, Islamic economy, and to even compare it to what Western economy is. No, this is not what actually I really myself believe in.
And different scholars have tried their best to extract new rules and ideas from, especially Islamic studies. Shahid Assad, Muhammad Baghdad Assad, in the book Iqtisaduna wa Falsafatuna, you know, has tried to give the new theories that are rooted in the religion of Islam, really nice efforts, Shahid Mutahari and Allama Tabatabai too. But the case is that, so in this way, we need to develop our own theory, Sayyid Abdullah, isn't it? The theories are over there. We have to apply them.
See, when we look at humanity studies or humanitarian studies from a Western perspective and Islamic perspective, there's one major difference here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if me and you, we have to give a theory, it has to be based on Islam or what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Now, so, for example, if we look at psychology, if we look at philosophy, we have to revolve around God and religion, yes, right? And from their perspective, not from my perspective. When you look at the Western or the secular humanities, it is from their own perspective. So each philosopher that comes, each psychologist that comes, each therapist that comes, he gives his own definition. For example, look at Freud. Mm-hmm. Freud says the sexual tendencies in a child, oh, he has sexual tendencies towards his mother.
Yes.
Now that's Freud's theory.
Yes.
Now this is not based on God. This is not based on logic. It's based on him.
Yes.
And it became a study, and all the rubbish that he came up with,
yes,
it became a study. It's been taught in universities.
Yes.
Darwin's theories, they became a
also
study.
They have been criticized, brother, by the Western world too, isn't it? I mean, because in the neo-Darwinism or the Freud ones, you know, there have been so many.
No, so some of them being discussed, but yes. I'm saying that even those which they accept, whatever theories or philosophers, you know, modern philosophers or back-day philosophers, whatever theories they brought, it was their own from their own creation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not based on God. Yes. It's not based on Islam or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants.
Yes.
So they would always get it wrong. And even if they get it right, it's just their own opinion. Yes. Where if you look at Islam as a system, even as a philosopher, for example, or as a theologist or what you might be,
yes,
it still has to be stemmed and has to go through the guidelines and rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which makes a difference in giving you the results or giving you the answers.
Yes. And you know, during... when you look at the history of Islam and all these scholars in different fields of studies, you know, Ibn al-Haytham, for example, you know, al-Khwarizmi, you know, mathematics, you know, Avicenna, Averroes, you know, Ibn al-Rushd, Ibn Sina, you know, Ibn Sina, you know, all these scholars from different fields of studies that had one foot in the religion and religious studies, so maybe helping them not to be deviated from the right path. And really brilliant discoveries have been made by them
in the history of Islam. It, by the way. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, for example, he used to have 4,000 students in his majlis, in his lessons, the classes. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, not only did he teach Islamic studies or tafsir or exegesis, he actually taught physics, chemistry. Yeah. He taught even pharmacy. He taught sciences of the body.
Yes.
He even taught what we call extraction and excavation.
Yes.
Astronomy.
Yes.
He taught so many sciences that
are,
if we look at them, they're just human things for the human needs, not for the... So Jabir ibn Hayyam, so he's the father of medicine and pharmacy and all these things. He was a student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So like I said, so even these sciences, Islam did not leave it to chance. Mm-hmm. Islam spoke about it. For example, look at the golden manual of Imam Ridha alayhi salam in medicine. And until today, it stands still. You know what I mean? So even the Imams alayhi salam, when it came to matters of humanities, they did give their say, which is the say of Islam. And we, when we take these laws that have been said by the Imams, and we kind of expand on them. So, for example, you gave the example of Sayyid Shaheed Sadr, and Falsafatun, our philosophy and our economy. All his theories, they are very in-depth, but he stems it from where? From an Islamic basis.
Yes.
Which made it very extremely special.
Yeah, we are out of time for today's discussion.
Thanks.
We have to cut it over here. Thank you very much. This is very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this program. This is Weird Points. I'm Atal, the host of this program. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Afi Amanullah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake? Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong and right. A world that often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life.